I first met Jeremy Alexander in 1978 at a CBI training seminar in Bristol. At that time, Coopers, the company of which I was chairman, ran 127 vehicles of varying weights and sizes, and was fast becoming one of the largest private road haulage companies in Britain. My father had founded the firm in 1931, starting out with three vehicles, two of them pulled by horses, and an overdraft limit of £10 at his local Martin's Bank. By the time we became Cooper & Son in 1967, the company had 17 vehicles with four wheels or more and delivered goods all over the north of England. But the old man still refused to exceed his £10 overdraft limit. When he retired in 1977, reluctantly at the age of 70, I took over as chairman and began to set in motion some ideas I'd been working on for the past decade, though I knew my father didn't approve of them. Europe was only the beginning of my plans for the company's expansion. Within 5 years, I wanted to go public. By then, I realized we would need an overdraft facility of at least £1 million, and would therefore have to move our account to a bank which recognized that the world stretched beyond the county boundaries of Yorkshire. It was around this time that I heard about the CBI seminar in Bristol and applied for a place. The seminar began on the Friday, with an opening address from the head of the European Directorate of the CBI. After that, the delegates split into eight small working groups, each chaired by an expert on community law. My group was headed by Jeremy Alexander. I admired him from the moment he started speaking. We broke up for lunch a few minutes before one, and I managed to grab a place next to Jeremy. Listening to him talk, I kept thinking that although we were about the same age, we couldn't have come from more different backgrounds. Jeremy's father, a banker by profession, had escaped from Eastern Europe only days before the outbreak of the Second World War. He settled in England, anglicized his name, and sent his son to Westminster. From there, Jeremy had gone on to King's College, London, where he read law, graduating with first-class honours. My own father was a self-made man from the Yorkshire Dales, who'd insisted I leave school the moment I passed my O-levels. I accepted this philosophy without question and joined Coopers as an apprentice a few weeks after my 16th birthday. By the time Jeremy had finally left the world of academia and taken up his first real job, I had been earning a wage for 8 years. Although I was impressed by Jeremy at the seminar, I could sense, behind that surface affability, a powerful combination of ambition and intellectual snobbery that my father would have mistrusted. I felt he was only mixing with us on the off chance that at some time in the future we might be responsible for spreading some butter on his bread. I now think that, even at our first meeting, he suspected that in my case it might be honey. When I reached home, I ran upstairs and sat on the end of the bed, regaling my sleepy wife with an account of why it had turned out to be such a worthwhile weekend. Rosemary was my second wife. I fell in love with my first, Helen, at the age of 13 while watching her play netball. Helen died on the night of the 14th of September 1964, giving birth to our son Tom, who himself only survived a week. I thought I would never get over it, and I'm not sure I ever have. After her death, I didn't glance at another woman for years, putting all my energy into the company. I met Rosemary, daughter of Brigadier Kershaw, the High Sheriff of the county, about 4 years afterwards at a ball given to launch the Leeds Music Festival. We married 18 months later. For a couple of years, Rosemary made every effort to be a good wife. But she yearned for a life made up of regular visits to the Grand Theatre for Opera North, followed by dinner parties with her county friends, while I preferred to work at weekends and to be tucked up in bed before 11 most nights. After 4 years without producing any offspring, we began to drift our separate ways. If she started having affairs, she was discreet about them. And then she met Jeremy Alexander.